Bung Bung.
ClayMcMathComedy.com. ClayMcMathComedy.com. Go there and get all my dates, buy tickets for all of my dates, buy your podcast merch. But I do have some dates coming up. This Friday, I will be at the Rhino Room in Adelaide. The 30th of November, I'll be at Lab Rats in Adelaide. The 7th of December, I'll be at the Cooper's Ale House for the SA Comedy Roadshow featuring myself, Michael Bowley, Jay Michael, and Justin Saw. That will be an absolute banger. Get your tickets while they last for that one. And then on the 9th of December, I will be in Kangaroo Island at the Aurora Ozone Hotel in Kingscote. Again, that's going to be a banger. That's the SA Comedy Roadshow hosted by myself featuring Fabian Clark and Michael Klimczak. That is going to be off the wall. Double feature there. So ClayMcMathComedy.com for all of those. And welcome to the potties, of course, brought to you by Bung Bung Coffee, the best dark roast that you can get. There's nothing like this. I saw a guy sprain some type of like a nerve or something in his neck, and he was all twisted up. His posture was terrible. And they were talking like stem cells couldn't even fix it. Injecting him with stem cells, cortisone, steroids, whatever they got to do, they're trying to fix it up, and it's not happening. Stem cells, dude, they're killing babies and putting them in his neck. It's not working. Guess what happened? He had to have a sip of Bung Bung coffee. Obviously, his neck was all like this, so he had to have it through a straw. But when he took that Bung Bung coffee, his neck straightened straight up. He looked like the number one, baby. And that's what happens when you drink the number one coffee. You look like the number one man or woman or they. So you want that Bung Bung coffee? You want that number one feeling? Get that number one dealing at bungbungcoffee.com. And because you're a Welcome to the Potty listener, you can enter the promo code POTTY. That's P-O-D-D-Y, P-O-D-D-Y, and get 15% off all orders. That is 15% off all orders because you're a Welcome to the Potty listener at bungbungcoffee.com. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the party. Best show on the internet. Ask anybody. You know it's easy money. Sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the party. Blackout in the booth. Every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party, Bung Bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman, because I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PI of podcasting, the Captain, the Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith of podcasting, because the last few weeks here at WTTP Studios has been a tumultuous few weeks. And you know, I say that with a heavy heart, because I'm here solo today. We got no board man. And Boardman had to say goodbye to his beloved puppy, man. Beloved Carlos. Way ahead of schedule. You know, Carlos was only like a year old and something happened out of nowhere. And they tried to help. They tried to help as much as they could, and that ended up being the only option that the vet gave them. So, hope everyone can, you know, have some well wishes and good words and thoughts for the board man there, because that's really unfair. I don't want to talk about it too much, just in case he listens to it. I don't want to bring it back to him and all that, but he's still going through it a little bit. Doesn't feel funny, doesn't feel like joking around, so he doesn't want to be here at the moment. I had the Z. You guys know about it. Every year, me and the Z boys get together, and that's my gang. You know, I'm a gang member. I got it tatted on my neck. And we did it. We had a boys' trip, and yeah, it took me a week to recover. And you're like, whoa, Clay, that seems like a really, really long hangover. And I don't know what you're insinuating when you say that, but yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. It was long. It was a long one, and it was long for a reason, but worth it. It worth every second of it, man. And I'll just tell you what happened, man. First off, I get on the plane. You know what? I'm jumping ahead of things here. We need to address Jada and Will. Well, mostly Jada. Because, and I know we're really early in the episode, so we're going to have to probably bleep this, but this bitch has lost her mind. And I'm going to have to bleep so many words right there, but like, for real, dude, like, what are you doing? You gotta chill. She's out there saying like, whoa, we haven't been married for 7 years, you know? It's like, well, why is your name still Jada Pinkett Smith? F-head. That's my first question. Me and Tupac were soulmates. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? How come you can talk so much about Tupac now that he's gone? I'll talk about him. I'll start talking about him. Just start saying like, yeah, me and Tupac, we were tight. We weren't actually like hard like that. No home loans, but you know, we fronted like we were hard because we were gangster rappers. And that's what was selling the records at the time. So, you know, we were both ballerinas and like, you know, real artsy boys at the time. And, you know, what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. You know, all home loans, even with the interest rates. You know, starting juice, nailed it. And that was when he first, that was his first time acting like a gangster. And he never sort of got out of character after that. He was in Method. He was the Method Man, but he wasn't in Wu-Tang, if you feel me. He was just out there really methoding out, like fully pretending he was a gangster in real life, spitting on cops, toting techs, stomping out Orlando Anderson. And then bang, here comes Keith D and Jada Pinkett Smith, or just Jada P back then she was. Keith D and Jada P roll up. Keith D's like, Suwu. And Jada P's like, look at all my, you know, illustrious hair or whatever, because she had hair back then. She, you know, she was whipping it back and forth like her daughter, Willow, whipping it back and forth. And she's like, what's up, Pac? And Pac called her a bitch, man, to her face. Because, you know, he was doing that gangster shit. And I said, whoa, why would you call your soulmate a bitch? And he said, who said anything about a soulmate? And I said, say less. See, it's easy to make up stories about Tupac. And that's what she's doing. Soulmate. That's a wild bitch, bro. For real. And I don't like to say the B. Well, I do like to say the B word. Yes, I do. I do like to. And she's out there just like doing this. And it's embarrassing. It's got to be one embarrassing for the kids. You know, and they're older now, like probably 25 or 30, 20, 21. Just saying numbers, just doing Sudoku. So it's got to be embarrassing for them, especially like the non-famous one. Like, he's got to be the most embarrassed by this. He's like, but I think he's not even from Jada. So he's probably actually laughing about it. Laughing at Willow and Jaden, like, look at you silly motherfuckers. Look at your stupid mother. Look at her haircut, you know. And he's like, he's just, you know, work, like, he's just typing away on a typewriter for some reason. And they're like, Dylan, you are a telemarketer. Why are you using a typewriter? He's like, I prefer it like this. I don't even think his name's Dylan, really. I just made that up. But, yeah, for real, like, they're like the royal couple for black people. They're like America's couple. Name a more iconic black duo. And don't say Barack and Michelle. Bathhouse Barry. You know, don't talk about that. They're not what people, you know, people don't aim to be this couple. You know, Barack and Michelle. You know, Barack's dropping bombs on weddings and shit. Like, no one wants that. No one wants that. No one really wants, you know, Will Smith to slap another black man either, you know, let alone one of the greatest comics, Mr. Chris Rock. That was nuts. But he's going through it. He's got this bitch running her mouth all over town like, I don't even know if we're married anymore. And he's like, all right, well, at the Oscars when we're on TV, I'm going to say wife. It's like, what? No wonder he's going through it, dude. Like, no wonder his Instagram is so elite. He is just running from reality because these two are on one, dude. They are talking all types of smack. Well, I keep saying they. It's really just Jada, who kind of, you know, looks like a they, if I'm being honest. That's only if I'm being honest. I don't have to be with you guys if you're going to be sensitive. But yeah, man. I think that they're like at a point in their life where their image is more important than who they really are. But they don't even understand that. They don't even understand who they really are anymore because they've spent decades upholding this image. And the image, it's crazy.
Man, you corny!
No one should be subjected to that level of fame. And it's like, it's really Will Smith's fame. You know, Jada's got Red Table Talk or whatever, and some of you listeners are like, what's that? And that, you know, exactly. It's what she's most well known for. You know, she was in The Nutty Professor. You guys might not remember that, but she was the babe that The Nutty Professor was dating. And that's it. That's most of the movies that she was in. The list goes on. I think there's two or three other movies that she was in. But really, she's hanging on to the coattails of Men in Black. Men in Black 2, 3. You know, I Am Legend, Bad Boys. Bad Boys 2, 3, 4, I think. You know, I'm sure he's been in other movies. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And with Jazzy Jeff. DJ Jazzy Jeff. This man has seen up some skirts, bro. Focus. He's been in Focus. He's been in some movies, man. He's Mike Lowry. Mike Lowry. Talking to some baldy, you know? Like, so, yeah, they forgot. They forgot who they are. How could you not, man? Dude, I did a gig the other week, came out of there thinking I was the greatest comic of all time. You couldn't tell me shit. Came out of there on a Tuesday night just like, let's go to the bar. Drinks are on me. I took off all my clothes and I streaked down the middle of the road, full Will Ferrell style. Straight down the middle of the road. And everyone was following me, but they were all fully clothed. And they came in with me to the bar. It was called the Shamrock. It was called the Shamrock, and they all went in there. And they said, this naked guy's getting us a drink. And I did an Irish goodbye, baby. Smoke bombed on them. I'm getting them. I'm not buying you motherfuckers a drink because I'm the best comic alive. What is that? What is that? Is that one of my jokes? Is that one of my funny, funny jokes? I'm not getting you a drink, dude. So, yeah, it's easy to forget where you are and who you came from is what I'm saying. Or who you are and where you came from, vice versa. It's easy. And that's what's happened to Will and Jada. And Jada, she is the epitome, the epitome of an attention whore. Because, like, this Red Table Talk thing, I guess it's, I don't even know where you can watch it, Facebook TV or something. Is that still a thing? Who knows? No one cares. No one cares. And she, you know, she's talking about entanglement. She's just minimizing their relationship and emasculating him at every turn. So, of course, he snapped at the Oscars. And now, and she can't stop talking. And her publicist has got her on every podcast in the fucking country. She's talking, like, I don't feel like I need to read her new book, whatever it's called. The Woman in Me or something. Everyone goes out and buys The Woman in Me now, but expecting it to be Jada Pinkett Smith, but it's just Britney Spears. Shit. Britney Spears, my... Like, I know she was an entertainer. Was she known for her dancing? Because what I see on Instagram is wild, dude. That bitch is, no offense, yes offense, cooked. She is highly medicated. I don't know if it's, you know, prescription or some street shit, but she is, I want what she's having. Shout out to When Harry Met Sally. That is...
Easy money.
That is so lit. She's dancing with knives, clapping them shits. Ooh, ooh, I'm clapping a knife. It's like, shit. You cooking? She, like, and then she gets angry that someone called, like, for a welfare check on her. It's like, you know how sometimes you can just look directly into a bitch's eyes and be like, oh, yeah, that's a psycho right there. Dude, I'm not even near her. I'm on the other side of the world looking into Instagram, and I'm like, oh, yeah, something, she's about to do some damage. If she's not going to do it to herself or anyone else that's in the house, she's about to do it to, you know, a benchtop or a refrigerator or something. Someone's going to have to call a plumber at the very least, if not a coroner. You understand? Sometimes fame, you know, fame's the game. Fame's the name of the game. And you'll never be the same. It's a lion that needs to be tamed. That was lame. What else, man? What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, it's been tumultuous, bro. Coming out of the Z. Yeah, let me talk about the Z. So, I get on this plane, dude. And, well, I didn't even get on it yet. I'm at the airport having a coffee. Bang. I don't think you're allowed to board a plane with, like, a hot drink. So, I smash this coffee. And it was annihilation. I was like, let me get
another one.
But I couldn't get another one because I had to board. Anyway, they start, they do the announcement, the call. You know? Gate 21. And I don't know how many people can fit on a plane, man, but it's a lot because all the seats are touching. No one has leg room. Even midgets don't have leg room. And I know you're not supposed to say midgets, but please accept this apology, bro. So I'm not going to wait in this line. You know, I've got myself an exit row, so I'm feeling kind of bougie. So I'm like, I'm going to go front of the line. And I walked up to the front of the line, cut the line, baby. This is how I'm starting my trip. This is the confidence I'm walking into this trip with. I skipped the whole line, baby. No one said shit. I looked like I knew what I was doing because I went. It was like a 16-year-old going to buy a slab of beer. You go in there with your little shitty mustache, but you got that confidence. No one's going to card you, baby. You walk right up, put that shit on the counter. Beep. $24.99. And that's how much a slab used to cost. Now they're like $78.76, you know? And that was probably a cheap slab, what I just said, $78. Dude, you get those RTDs, you know, like a cruiser, Red Bear or something. I don't even know if Red Bears are still a thing, but like you get a cruiser, that's $100 a slab, I'm pretty sure. 90 at least. Anyway, we're not there yet. I cut the line, get on this plane. We take off, bro. And it was like, man, it felt good. It felt so good, bro, because I was, you know, I was fresh. No alcohol in me, just caffeine. Just skipped the line, sat down. And yeah, I had the aisle seat, so I sat down early and I had to get up twice for people. But like, hey, I'm in the exit row. When I get up, I don't hit my knees, you know? So I'll get up, I'll get down. Got to get up to get down. Anyway, can't stop. Right? So that flight, Adelaide to Melbourne, you're down before you're up, you know? That was light work. I get picked up by a friend. We go hang out like all day. I don't even really remember what we did. I think we got sushi for lunch and then we just went back. We're like watching NBA. And then it's dinner time. We cook up some dinner. And then we go to my gig. And gig goes well at a good club, pretty big club over there in Melbourne. And dude, I'm such an industry virgin, dude. I'm in the green room with the other comics. Oh shit, oh hey, nice to meet you. I'm like, yeah, I'm Clay, nice to meet you. And we're just talking, you know, talking comedy, talking, you know, industry, you know. I'm trying to get in where I fit in. And I'm like, oh yeah, how long you been doing it? Guy's like, oh, 20 years. I'm like, oh, whoops, okay. Anyway, follow him after the show. Oh, okay, 140,000 followers on Instagram. So I'm a fucking retard, bro. Straight up chabarded. So that's embarrassing. Anyway, fuck it. I go up, kill it, obviously. Didn't go there to fuck spiders. You know what I'm saying? So we go back. I can't sleep. Too jacked up, adrenaline running through my body. That's how, like, it was that good. Felt like my first time. I remember, I'll never forget the first time I did comedy. It was like the 10th birthday of Rhino Room. So it was a packed house at an open mic. I think it was just the 10th birthday of One Mic Stand, which is the name of the open mic. And so it was packed house, and I'm thinking, oh shit, this is the comedy scene in Adelaide, this is gonna be dope. I go up, slay, baby. I still use the joke to this day. You know, I've leveled the joke up a bit, but I still use that 5 minutes today. And yeah, I get up and just murder, and I couldn't sleep that night. And usually when I play basketball, I can't sleep because my knees hurt. But I couldn't sleep because I was so jacked up. And that's what happened on this Tuesday night. So I just watched Netflix pretty much all night that night. Next day, you know, we're just running around. I don't really remember what we did that day. Oh, went for mad walks. Did a lot of walking. And then I went and saw Trevor Wallace live. And that, you know, shout out to Rory Lowe. He got me a free ticket. He was he's a comic over here he's a Sydney comic, but he's from the UK, lives in Sydney, dope comic. He gave me a ticket, so I went and saw Trevor Wallace, which was pretty good, man. That was a fun show. It's so weird going to like a theater act. Solo, because none of my friends, because we had like a boys weekend coming up, everyone wanted the equity with their girlfriend. So like, you know, spend the night before with the girl, make sure she's happy, you know. And I totally understand that, but my girl's in Adelaide, so I'm doing my thing. Before the Trevor Wallace show, me and my friend, we go to the pub. He had one beer, I had two beers. I get on the train, go to the city. And I call Rach, I FaceTime her so I can say goodnight to Kenny. First thing she says when she picks up the phone, she goes, "Are you drunk?" It's like, what? How does she know that I've had two beers changes me enough to be questioned on my sobriety? Like that was a shock to me, man. Because I thought, you know, I like to think I'm a bit of a tank. Obviously not, man. Dude, I get back to the suburb my friend lives in, you know, on the train, with 2% left on my phone, which is enough for an Uber and for my phone to die inside the Uber. So I made it get inside, and luckily the door wasn't locked, because if the door was locked, I couldn't have called anybody. And he was at his girlfriend's place, and his dad and sister were inside, and I would have had to wake somebody. So, you know, that all worked out. The door was unlocked, so that was nice. The next day is the day that we start. Boom, get up, have a coffee. Boom, go to X Golf. We're playing golf indoors, drinking beers early. You know, this is like 11:15. We've started. Then after that, what did we do? I think we just went to the Airbnb, hung out, had more coffee, I think, had some more beers, went out for dinner. You know it, Chin Chin, shout out.
Easy money.
God, they're good, dude. I'm like, give me another plate.
Another one.
Fucking love Chin Chin, man. So we bounce out of Chin Chin, go to this pub down the street. I don't want to name like everyone and everything, because like I can't just be giving everyone shout outs. But this dude that worked at Chin Chin rolls up behind us. He was our waiter, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm just on my break." And we're like, "Yeah, come get a drink with us." He does, and we're like, "Hey, we're doing this thing tonight when we get back to the crib, where we stole this from the Essendon Football Club." And I don't know why I said Essendon, because I meant Richmond Football Club. And it's hardship highlight hero. And you just got to break down what in the last 12 months, what your biggest hardship was, what your biggest highlight was, and who your biggest hero is. You know, and it's just like a bit of honesty and positivity. You know, the hardship is not always positive, but it's a supportive environment to talk about shit that maybe you haven't been talking about with your friends or whatever. So we do this. We knew that we were doing this, and we had told everybody at dinner so that they could think about it before we get back to the Airbnb to do this. And we tell this dude, like, "Oh man, like, since you're having a drink with us, we're about to do this when we get back to the crib. How about you do it for us right now?" And he is the most depressing motherfucker on the planet, dude. I'm for real right now. This dude's been through it. I'm not going to start putting his business out there, but wow. Man, that was wild. And, you know, you got to be grounded at the same time. Like, we've just been having, like, a crazy feed where, you know, we're having a lot of beers, a lot of wine. But you also got to be, like, grounded enough to, like, not stop this motherfucker or like try and make a joke because you feel uncomfortable, especially when you don't know him. That's just me anyway. So that was pretty wild. We get back to the Airbnb. We do the Triple H session, which was, you know, it's so good, man, to have friends that you can feel, you can open up, be vulnerable with, and feel comfortable doing it. And, you know, we also did, like, the guy to your right. So you do those three things, and then you say why you appreciate the guy on your right, which is, man, it feels good. It feels good to be able to show that love and to receive it, man. It feels good from your boys. Except sometimes I feel like such a piece of shit, dude. Like, All the time I'm just like podcasting, like off mic. Like, I just treat my life like a podcast, and anyone around me is my audience. And I'm just not even talking with them. I'm just talking to them. like this, like I am to you guys right now. And I'm just verbal diarrhea. I'm like, man, probably need to put a joke in here. Probably need to, you know, tease someone here. And they're probably just like, dude.
Hell no, to the no, 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 hell to the no.
Like I call them. I wonder if I even say like, how you doing? How are you? How you going? Not in like the are you okay day way, but like in just like a how are you way. Like, hey man, what's up? How you going? I just answer the phone. I'm like, hey bro, guess what happened? Oh, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, Jesus Christ, why'd I call this gun? Such a piece of shit, bro. But, you know, what can you do? Surprised I got any friends left, but I have some of the best friends in the world who I had the sickest weekend ever with, man. I'm not going to break down the whole weekend moment for moment like I did that first night, but I wanted to tell you guys about that Triple H, man, because it's just such a, you know, like, again, I want to give credit to the Richmond Football Club for that, Trent Cochin, and because, like, we didn't make it up, but it was so cool, man. To just give that love in a supportive environment and feel that and get vulnerable, man. It's important to do. And I think you guys should do it. I know most of you guys that listen to this are males. So if you don't have people that you feel comfortable doing that with, find them. Reach out to the Welcome to the Potty podcast. Send us an email and just break down. I want to hear your Triple H's if you've got them. What was your highlight, hardship, and hero over the last 12 months? Tell me who, why, what? I'd love to hear it. I'd love to break that down on the show for people. And read those out. Read some positivity instead of just like, my wife doesn't want to suck my dick. Should I leave her? It's like, what? I don't know. Is she good at cooking? Because if she's bad at cooking and she won't suck your dick, then yeah, you gotta get out. Anyway, what the fuck am I talking about, bro? We went to the races. I blacked out on the Friday night. Went to the races Saturday. Blacked out for a period on Saturday, I think. At the pub. But this was late. Just, you know, blackout Barry over here. But... And then you get the guilt, you know, when you're coming down or hungover, you get the guilt, something chronic, and you're just like, dude, I'm such a piece of shit. I'm a bad dad. I don't believe in myself. I'm a shit comedian. I'm not funny, and I'm never going to make it. And then by the end of the week, you're like, man, what a good weekend. I could do it all over again. And, you know, it's a grotty cycle, man, but I fucking love it. Fucking love it. And I could, if someone told me you've got the Z tomorrow, bro, I'd be like, where at? What time's my flight? You know, I'm going. Fucking love those boys, man. And I'm going to make more of an effort to not be just like a podcaster 24/7. But when that sauce hits my lips, bro, I turn into a motor mouth. You know, not only the sauce most of the time too, sometimes. Which I got to stop that shit because I get so fucking depressed after it. Can't get out of it. You know, I'm just doing shit, doing a good job, you know, doing dishes, doing daddy stuff. I'm like, man, you suck. You're worst. Oh shit, my heart's beating really fast. Am I having a heart attack? Am I going to die? What's going to happen if I die? Is Rachel going to be okay? Is Kenny going to be okay? How's Kenny going to grow up without me? Like, just full spirals, bro. Like, that's not cool. That's not healthy, man. And then, like, you get to the end of the week, you get all that shit out of your system, and it's like, man, that's not a good place to be. Like, that's not worth it. The hangover's worth it. The hangover's definitely worth it. But the other shit, man, it's not good. It's not good. Get out of it. Dude, I was on the flight home, you know, I'm trying to get a little bit of sleep. I'm like shaking, waking up like, fuck, fuck. The guy's in there to me like, dude, are you all right? I'm like, what? No, no, I'm not. No, sorry, I'm not. But the guy in front of me, dude, he was not okay. This dude had anxiety out the dick hole, bro. Man, the jet bridge wouldn't connect to the plane when we landed. So we were on the tarmac for like 20 minutes, you know, no big deal. 20 minutes after a 40 minute flight, like, yeah, we're going to be okay. And, once the jet bridge finally opened up, he's like, nope, sorry, I can't do this. And just starts pushing through people. He was like Michael in The Office. He was like, nobody panic. And he takes off and starts just like pushing through people. Man, that, there's someone else that does that in a movie or TV show too. George from Seinfeld does that shit. Anyway, that's what this dude, he was like, no, I can't do it. No, I'm sorry. I just can't. Pushes through everybody, dude. And I was at the back of the bus on this one. So he did this through, I don't know. Again, I don't know how many people on a flight. I don't know, 5,000? That's what it feels like. That is how close the seats are together. There was 5,000 people on this flight from Melbourne to Adelaide, and this dude pushed through, I don't know, 4,992 of them. I reckon there was 8 people behind him, me included. So he didn't touch me. If he touched me, he would have maybe, I don't know, burnt a finger, or, you know, I was acidic as a motherfucker, bro. I think they replaced my seat when I got out of it, man. I was sitting there sweating, crying. I think I shit my pants. Maybe I don't know why happened, bro. Scary. But like I said, I got through it. And I ended up at the Christmas pageant this weekend. Kenny loved it. I did not want to go. And it was so worth it seeing his little face. Look at all this shit. And he's like probably not quite old enough to understand. I don't know if he really knows what Santa is and shit, but he was just like mouth agape for an hour and a half. Just like, and usually he's like always like, wow, wow, wow. He says wow all the time. It's his favorite word. And he didn't say a word, dude. And yeah, he was probably a bit tired, but man, it was beautiful. It was freaking beautiful. And there's this couple there that one of them was mad chatty. And you know me, dude. Unless you're my friend, I'm not podcasting for you, bro. So I was silent. And he's just talking. And I'm not even complaining, bro. He was so sweet, such a sweetheart. My back started hurting. I was like, man, I got to take a break, go get a coffee or something. So we dip, and they're like, oh, we'll save your spot, dude. So nice and so friendly. And I'm such a piece of shit. I didn't even ask this guy his name. I think his kid's name. Oh, I'm not going to say his kid's name, but I think I remember his kid's name because we tried to make our kids sort of give each other a high five. But I didn't even ask him or his partner their names because I am a fucking piece of shit, bro. But, I can't understand that about myself now after the Triple H. So, I'll live with it, man. I'm happy to live with it. Man, I haven't done an intro to the potty this long. Probably since the last solo episode. I think sometimes I feel like I'm putting Boardman through it, dude. And I'm also not asking him questions. I just sit there and talk about myself. It's basically like one of our conversations off camera, I guess. With any of my friends. Just sit there, talk about myself. I'm like, oh, well, I better go anyway. But take it easy. No, I'm not that bad, bro. But I definitely know it about myself. You know what it is though, bro? You get conditioned to just hate it. There's so many people in your life that you say like, oh, hey, how you doing? And they actually tell you. You're like, oh, I just wanted you to say good things. You know Wendy from accounts? Like, I just wanted you to say good things. I didn't want to hear about your divorce. And your custody battle, you know? I don't care about you. We're not even work friends. I walk past your office. Your office is literally across the hall. You're not even in the same wing as I am in the building. I don't know. I know your name because you email me 25 times a day. I don't care about you. Don't tell me about your divorce, you know, from Joseph, Wendy and Joseph, just having an all-out, claws-out, lawyers-in divorce. Kids don't know what's going on. The kids is like picking sides, telling lies. And it's like, what? What are you talking about? Are they calling people to the stand in this divorce? Like, what are we talking about, Wendy? I just want to know if you underpaid me this fortnight. You know? Shit, Wendy. So yeah, then I call my friend Pete after work. I'm like, hey Pete, man. And I go to say, like, what's been happening? I'm like, nah. Nah, if I ask Pete what's happening, he's going to start telling me about his divorce, you know? He'll start telling me about how his parents used to clip him around the ears and shit because it was a different time. But he still thinks about it to this day. And every time his barber tries to fade him up, he flinches because he doesn't like people getting too close to the top of his to the top of his ears, you know? So he's got like a reverse mullet where he's got mad hair covering his ears, but but the rest of his head's shaved because that's where he can handle getting his hair cut. What the fuck am I talking about, man? Just so you guys know, it's Monday night. It's 9:30 at night, so like I'm not drunk or anything. I'm not hungover or nothing. I'm just. Man, it's good to be back on the mic, man, even though it's been tumultuous, bro. And I'm going to keep saying tumultuous because, like, I'm pretty sure it's a word, but it's when I tried to type it out, it got a red underline and it had no suggestions for me because I am that chibarded, bro. I am a loaf of chibarda, baby. But I don't know. I can't remember what I was talking about, so let's just hit it.
Comedy, action, or horror? Will this movie win an Oscar? Set design, directing, acting, lighting, or costumes? This segment is Clay's Reviews.
I've got two movies for you, and they're both pretty low-key. I don't have heaps to say about either of them, so I think we're going to be pretty much in and out here. First one is called Champions, starring Woody Harrelson. And I'll just hit you with the plot here. A former minor league basketball coach is ordered by the court to manage a team of players with intellectual disabilities. He soon realizes that despite his doubts, together his team can go further than they ever imagined. So yeah, it's a bunch of intellectually disabled people in a basketball team with a professional coach. And yeah, they go to the state finals, man. Of course. Why wouldn't they? It's a feel-good story. You know what happens. And there is a tasteless joke in it, which a Down syndrome guy says. So it's allowed. So it's like a black person saying the N-word. So tick. That's a tick. And he says, I'm your homie with an extra chromy. Which is... fucking nuts, bro. That is fucking awesome. That is so good. For a second I flinched because we're getting conditioned, dude. We're getting conditioned by the left. They're all pussies. They're all woke. We're getting conditioned, bro, to just flinch at, like, wild shit like that. But the right person said it. Woody Harrelson didn't say that shit. Caitlin Olsen didn't say that shit. It was a guy who was the guy, you know? And he said it. And I, for a second, was like, oh, you can't say that. And then I was like, ha, yes, yes, that's not... great. It's not great writing, but I don't believe I've ever heard it before. So lock it down. Lock it down. You know, there was nothing to this movie, man. There was a lot of setups where they waited till the like final moments for things to happen. Sometimes you've got to do your callbacks a bit sooner, and I found this out in my hour show. I set up this callback in the first 5 minutes, and in the last 5 minutes of an hour show, I went for the callback, and people sort of had forgotten what I was talking about. But it's a banger callback, because if I do it in like a 10-minute set, yeah. People start taking their clothes off, jumping out of windows, stealing cars. It goes nuts. It's a good joke. Sometimes you just got to let it happen a little bit sooner, man. And this movie let shit really play out. It lost. I wouldn't say it lost its way. It had this weird portion of the film where the love interest was an actress was her profession, but not like TV, just like she goes to high schools and performs Shakespeare. And then there was a little mission that they had to go on and utilize her acting skills, which was just like such a reach. And just a little... Yeah, I don't know. It being the solution to the problem they were facing seemed strange. It was kind of like a revenge play as well, though. But whatever. The movie was fine. I'd give it a 6 out of 10. You know, it's feel good, and they gave a bunch of intellectually disabled people the opportunity to be in a film. That's great. You know, there was one girl. Who had Down syndrome, who was actually, I say actually as if, I think I'm minimizing what she did. She was phenomenal. She was very funny. And she had a star quality to her with her attitude, her sass or something. I don't know her name, but you'll know her. If you watch it, you'll know her when you see her. She was great. But I will say this. This is a very missable film. Justice 6. All right, we got one more here before we go. Old Dads with one of my favorite comics in the world, Bill Burr. You know, top 5 dead or alive, I think. I love Bill Burr. It's a weird casting because all of the people that he casts have the first name B. I think it's just a coincidence. But, you know, Bill Burr, Bobby Cannavale, and Bokeem Woodbine. Bill, Bobby, and Bokeem. And you tell me right now if Bokeem is black. Yeah. Yeah, he is. Bokeem, he's a black.
Yeah!
Anyway, I'll give you the plot here. 3 best friends become fathers later in life and find themselves battling preschool principals, millennial CEOs, and anything created after 1987. And yeah, that's about it. And it's like the Bill Burr story. He's a old dad in real life, so he wrote a movie about it. He wrote it. This was his directorial debut, so... you know, far out. Good for him. I think he wrote it, produced it, directed it, starred in it. You know, he did the whole gamut. So shout out to Bill Burr. He's got a scene at the very start of the movie where he's playing catch with his son. And I don't remember what special it's from. It might be Why Do I Do This? He's got a bit where he's playing catch. He's like, it's an act out. And this is... pretty much from that, which, well, I don't know if it's from that or if he had that in mind when he wrote that scene, but that's what I thought of when I saw it. I think maybe any time I ever see Bill Burr throw a ball, I'll think of that joke anyway, so I don't know. I think Bill Burr's got it in him to go a lot harder. It's rated R. It's rated R. So like the millennial stuff, he could have gone crazy. He could have gone in on him a bit more. I think he dialed it back a lot. You know, Bill Burr, I listened to his podcast, so I know like probably 12 months ago he went on a mushroom trip and he discovered a lot about himself that sort of related to his anger issues, and now he's not, you know, he's not really as angry. He's worked on himself. Okay, and I think he played the new Bill in this movie, and I think he had an opportunity to play the old Bill and really go to town on, you know, the millennials and times are changing type of stuff. I think he could have gone a little harder, but that's just my opinion, man. You know, he's got a movie and I don't. I'm just here with the number one movie podcast in Australia. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I really enjoyed it. I'd watch it again. This one has high rewatchability. He's not my peer. You know, he's one of the goats, but it's hard to sit here and trash another comedian. I'm not trashing Bill Burr. This is a good movie. I just said it's got rewatchability. I would call this a 6 out of 10, okay? There's a scene in it where a white guy says the N-word, and it is the funniest. It's my favorite scene in the whole film, and it's pretty early on. But I laughed about it 2 days later. I think I watched it on a Monday night, and I laughed about it on a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. Dude, funny scene. Gold old my chain. That's all I'm going to say. Okay? Apart from that, I'm keeping it zipped.
Sensational.
That was a 6 out of 10, man. Dude, if you like the show, rate it 5 stars. And most importantly, tell a friend, hear about the Welcome to the Potty podcast, man. This is the number one movie podcast in Australia, man. Like, you have got to let your friends know. You've got to let your family know. You've got to let your enemies know. Because it might make your enemies your friends. Because you're turning them onto a gem. And I am becomes a jeweler. Because I'm always dropping those. You understand? So please tell a friend about the Welcome to the Potty podcast, man. We got to build this thing, and I rely on you guys to do it. That's the most important way. So just rate it 5 stars, tell a friend, and get them to tell their friends. Please. I love you guys. Don't forget to love yourselves. And as always, bung bung.